parenting on Moncrief, thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, providing 24-hour support for foster parents and children. FiveRiversFostering.ie.
1890 453 106 is our local number. Our text number is 53106. That'll cost you 30 cents. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. It is time for our parenting slot. We're joined today by Dr. Mary O'Kane. Mary is a lecturer in psychology and early childhood education. She also has a Facebook page, Dr. Mary O'Kane Early Years. I assume it's about the early years of children rather than devoted to your own early years, Mary.
Exactly.
Going back of your own biography. Right, anyway, here's your first question, Mary. It's quite a long one, but sometimes we need to add this level of detail. I have a wonderful seven-year-old girl. She's fun, bright and well-behaved most of the time. My seven-year-old has always been a sensitive child. As a baby, she cried a lot and was very sensitive to noise. She found it difficult to travel in a car, even for 5 minutes. She wouldn't sit still in a restaurant. Myself and my husband used to marvel at other babies in high chairs, seemingly content to munch on some fruit or bread or play with a toy, while our daughter used to scream at high pitch. We used to take turns of going outside with her while the others ate. As she got older, she hated the uncertainty of playgrounds and kids coming up behind her. She never seemed too comfortable around kids until she was at school going age. Now she has lots of friends and has an amazing confidence in school. She still hangs back in the schoolyard and sees what everyone is playing before she chooses who she wants to play with. Her words. The problem is that any time we go away, whether it's a 2 week holiday abroad or a weekend break or even a day out, our daughter becomes very difficult to deal with. Everything is a problem for her. She moans about everything, cries over the slightest thing. She winds herself up, saying things like, if we don't hurry up, the pool's going to be closed. Hurry up, hurry up. Okay, don't bother then. The pool's already closed. Let's not bother. It's always frantic and a lot of the time completely illogical. Myself and my husband try our best to reason with her, reassure her that we're by her side and we can all move slowly, but by day two of holidays, we're already worn out. Please help, as I feel so sorry for her. It's like she gets overwhelmed and can't seem to process normal things. I would love to have a family holiday where she's relaxed and enjoying herself.
Oh, I know, there's so much going on here, isn't there?
There
really is. I thought, let's start with the positive here. If I read what this, I don't know if it's a mum or a dad, what this parent has said at the very beginning about their child, really sensitive to noise, crying a lot, can't be in the car, you can't be in a restaurant, whatever. I would have said it's very likely this child has sensory issues, the high-pitched screaming and stuff like this. So look at how this child has progressed. This little girl has really come on. She's now at a point where the mum says, or the parent says, she's fun, bright and well-behaved. She's doing really well in school, confident in school, lots of friends. So there's been huge progress here, but I would say there's still just some issues going on with her. We have a term we use, we call it the highly sensitive child. And I'm kind of looking at this child thinking she is one of them. If the parent is listening, there's a lady called Elaine Aron, A-R-O-N, in the US, and she can find out more information if she Googles that lady. But it's a child who just is, rather than having a disorder, is just highly sensitive to their environment. And it strikes me that that's what's happening. And with a child like this, she's doing really well at school. She's doing really well at home. So she's really coping in the environments she's secure in and she's happy in. But when she goes into the unknown, the anxiety comes up within her.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of anxiety based. And I would say to the parent to talk to the child about how she's feeling before she reacts in this way. And this sensitivity, it is an anxiety that comes within you. So to kind of have a think about that. And I always say to parents, actually explain to the child what is going on inside them. And if you say to them, you know, deep inside your brain is like this little knot inside your head, and it's called the amygdala. And it is your little high alert. It's like a little warrior inside you that's trying to protect you if it thinks anything dangerous is happening. So it's a good thing. It is there to warn you. So anytime, you know, years ago, if a lion was going to jump up behind you, it would give you a fright and it would react. So it is there inside you, but in some of us, it's just more sensitive than in others. So this little warrior is in there, but it acts like a smoke alarm in your head. And it can't tell. Your smoke alarm in your house reacts when it senses smoke, but it doesn't know if your house is on fire or if your mother has just burnt the toast. It just goes off and it warns you, get out, get out. And this is what this little warrior in her head is doing. So all these feelings and the panic that she's having, and as her mum's saying, she's feeling overwhelmed, she can't process things. that is natural, because this little warrior in her mind is overtaking the sensible part of her brain, which is, if you like, in the front of her head. Mm. And it's taking over. It's trying to do its best, but it's just not getting it right. So she needs to think about how she's going to manage and tell this little fella to calm down, if you like. And one of the biggest things we use for that is mindfulness. So it's deep breathing and it's muscle relaxation. There's lots of fantastic mindfulness exercises out there. Again, she can Google that. But for a seven-year-old, even if the mum gets her at night time when she's going to bed, lie in the bed and get a little cuddly toy, and we call them a breathing buddy, lie on her back, put the toy on her chest and just get her to do deep breathing while she's watching the little toy go up and down. Mm. It is teaching the child to concentrate on her breathing and bring her down. This fight or flight reaction only lasts for a short period of time. And if you can actually breathe, it can get you through it. Another great little tip, the child is getting frustrated, a great one to use is what we call a glitter jar. And you just get a normal little see-through jar, fill it with water and glitter. And if you shake that jar, the glitter obviously goes all around through the water, and explain to the child, that is you. That is what's happening. Those feelings inside you, the feelings that you feel in the pit of your stomach, the adrenaline running through your body. This is what's like going on in your brain. So when you feel frustrated, a lot of preschools use them now, and they'll have a little line of them lined up.
Yeah.
And if a child is feeling frustrated, they'll come over and they'll get, preschool practitioners say, they'll nearly see the child, go over, grab the glitter jar, shake, shake, shake. And the idea is when you leave it to settle, you breathe as you watch the glittering setting. So you have a visual representation of the settling down and you're breathing through it. I think some mindfulness activities will really help the child. Don't avoid the going. I mean, it only seems to happen when she's going away. Don't avoid going away, but start small. So plan even a day out somewhere.
Mm.
Prepare the child in advance. When a child is very sensitive or anxious, to have a structure, to know the plan, is really important. It kind of gives them some control over. They nearly know what to expect. So here's our plan. What happens if something goes wrong? How will we breathe? We'll use our breathing. You can even have a little mindfulness jar in your backpack, you know what I mean? That they have a plan of action where the feelings come up. It takes time. I can't honestly say this is something that's just going to go away. But I think given time, working on bringing her anxiety levels down. If by any chance her sensory issues increase, I would definitely go back to the GP. But the fact that she's doing so well in school compared to when she was younger, she's coping so well. She's clearly a clever young lady in that she has learned to deal with the issues that she had when she was younger within those environments, making friends, all this confidence, is able to stand back in the schoolyard and think about who she'll play with. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, she's great in those situations.
Yeah.
It's just about giving her the skills to
It's
cope
maybe the new situation, the unknown situation where she's imagining what's going to happen. And
holidays
she
can be a little bit touchy for all of us.
For
you know?
Adults as well. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it isn't open when you expect it to be open.
Yeah. My son is nearly 5 and starting school in September, but still can't speak properly. I have a daughter in 6th class who has a really bad attitude towards school and says she hates her teacher. I also have another son in 3rd class who's extremely quiet and finds it hard to make friends. I'm worried that all of my kids are showing signs of problems and I'm overwhelmed with that, with what to do. I read to them at home and we all do things as a big family and I encourage friends over at the house. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Please help. Well, that's a relatively short question with a lot of questions built into it, really.
There's so much in there. And it's funny, as parents, I think we are so critical of ourselves. And when something goes wrong or something is happening in our child's life so often, and I know we don't know if this is a mother or father, but I'm reading it thinking it's usually mothers. When you get this reaction from parents, I'm overwhelmed. What am I doing wrong? I'm trying all these things. I think men are better at compartmentalizing. But we are so hard on ourselves. And we have this idea in our heads. Everyone else is doing a great job. Everybody else's family is doing really well. And it's my family has all these problems. So the first thing I would say to her is breathe. I really think parenting is like peaks and troughs. And you go along calmly for a while and you think, I'm doing well here. Have this sussed. And you can be guaranteed something's going to knock you. She's just had everything come together. And I don't think it's her. I don't think this parent is doing anything wrong. That's the first thing I'd say to her. So stop blaming yourself. I mean, if you look at what she says she's doing, she's reading to them at home, she's doing things as a family, she's encouraging, I mean, she's doing everything that the parenting experts tell you to do. So, I mean, this woman is not to blame. So if we start by thinking maybe the three children, so there's some practical steps for the three kids. Okay, so five-year-old is starting school in September and still can't speak properly. So that is... The good thing about that is, okay, 5 years, he's nearly five now, starting school in September, great age to start school. It's a speech problem rather than a language problem. The fact that she says he can't speak, I'm assuming it's pronunciation of the words.
Right, okay.
Rather than a language. Yeah. A language, and it's not that he doesn't understand, he cannot speak.
Mm.
And that is easier to deal with than if a child is not understanding what's being said to them.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. She has plenty of time before September. I would say to her, get to your GP and get this little fella referred to a speech and language therapist. If he's in five, I'm assuming he's still in preschool, talk to your preschool practitioner because she might be able to help. But a lot of the speech difficulties, you need a trained speech and language therapist to help because they will give the child little exercises in terms of their tongue and enunciation and stuff. So get down to the GP and try and get a referral. The waiting list can be long. If she could afford to go privately, I would say to her, get in there.
Yeah.
Because it's not that you need to be going every week with speech. They will give you exercises. You can do them at home. So you're kind of working on it. So she has the whole summer. And the other end of it, he's five. So that's really good for starting school.
Yeah.
And think of his other skills. Okay, his language might not be great or his speech. Work on his independence, give him lots of chores, give him jobs to do, give him control. So you're preparing him for school in other ways to kind of compensate. Mm. So that's the five-year-old. For the older boy, her son in third class, who she says is very quiet and finding it hard to make friends. Again, think in terms of his social skills. If they are quiet and they struggle with friendships, It can really help if you have a little bit of interference and a little bit of support. So one-on-one play dates. She says she's having people over, friends over to the house. For him, I would encourage, try and stick with the one-on-one.
Yeah.
If he's struggling, even one-on-one with a cousin or something in with him his own age to help with social skills. And try and keep them small. Also think about other areas where he could work on his social skills. If you're struggling a little bit for the quiet ones, something like the Boy Scouts, where they have like a group activity they're working on. If I'm feeling shy and I don't know what to say, but suddenly we're all involved in a task, oh my gosh, my life is so much easier. So I'd encourage you to think about those things for that little fella. Have a word with the teacher as well. If he's really struggling with friends, if you have a quick word in the ear of the teacher, she will be able to sit in beside somebody the teacher can help her too. Mm. So that's the second little fella. For the older daughter, she said she's really bad attitude towards school and says she hates her teacher. You need to connect with her, find out what's going on with her. There's something going on with this little one. I'm assuming about 12.
Yeah,
she's
might
success.
That actually be the key to the problem?
Hormones are going to be racing around this young lady. She's they're the kingpins in primary school. Like, we are the top of the heap, but we're really aware we're going to have to make that move in September and go to the bottom of the heap, and we're being told it. That transition is really big for them, and the teachers are preparing for it, but they're telling them, now when you get to secondary school, you're going to have to do this and you're going to have to do that. It's a funny year for them. They're so confident coming out with, and they're dying to get out, but yet they're very aware that they're going to be the lowest in the pecking order. You don't really know what's going on with her, but I'd have a chat with her. Try and have time on your own with her in particular. I'm also wondering, you know, sometimes with the eldest, I know myself as a mum, I kind of tend to rely on my eldest a little bit. That I'm wondering if she's maybe sensing your stress about the other two a tiny bit.
Yeah,
she could be feeding off that. But
there might be, I'm stressed about the two younger siblings, and, you know, I want a bit of attention here as well, because I'm heading into this big...
Yeah.
And in many instances, the change from national to secondary is more stressful for them than just going into national school first.
Oh, it's a big one. It is a really big one. It definitely is, because, yes, the demands are so much higher when they go into secondary. So, yeah, it could be. Yeah, don't forget, I'm here. So I'd say to her, definitely try and make one-on-one with each of them. Now, I know she sounds stressed herself, but you know, sometimes, you know, when you're feeling overwhelmed, a bit of quiet time with each of them, they're getting their one-on-one, and actually you're coping better with feeling overwhelmed. The other thing I was going to say to her, and I'm really, I don't mean this to sound critical at all, but is she might think about parenting classes. And I do not mean that she's not parenting well. Do you know, parenting classes can be brilliant for finding like-minded parents that you can actually talk to. You can tell them what's going on and how you're feeling and get it all out. Very often they confirm you're doing what you should be doing. And she is. I can tell from what she's saying. Mm. But it might give her more confidence and more belief in herself as a parent again. It, by actually going,
yeah.
Bernardo's to a list of nationwide, if you go into Bernardo's website, you can find lists of them anywhere. And the HSE do free parenting. You don't have to pay for them. You can get free parenting classes through the HSE. And they are really good, Parents Plus program. So if she found something like that locally, and it would give her time away. And maybe then try and get your partner or your mum or somebody to give her a break, because she's, I hate to see somebody really questioning themselves
and
when you think they're doing
everything
right.
And give yourself a break as
exactly.
Is the most important thing. Right, we do have to take a commercial break. After that, a screaming three-year-old. 53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Dr. Mary O'Kane, who is a lecturer in psychology and early childhood education, is still with us. In relation to a couple of things we were talking about already, Fiona says the mindfulness for the seven-year-old is a gorgeous website and a series of books on lulurose.net. One of the books is called It's Always There, which can be read to the child to show that breath is always there as a tool during the storms. Another texter says, my mother taught junior infants for 35 years. She says that in every new intake of children, there would always be one with language difficulties. 99% of these children would be speaking perfectly by the end of the first year. So that's
reassuring
to hear. Yeah. Now, next question is this. My son is 3. In the last 4 months, he is coming into our room at night, screaming and crying, saying he's afraid of the dark and dogs barking. Until 4 months ago, he'd been sleeping soundly and staying in his own bed all night. When he falls asleep, we try to lift him back into his own bed, but he wakes up very upset. We also have a four-month-old baby. Help. Oh, crikey. Yeah.
Well, the first thing I'd say is, okay, you have a four-month-old baby, and 4 months ago...
Yeah.
Your three-year-old started coming into your room every night.
Yeah, you should have reread your own question.
This little three-year-old is... Life is hard at 3.
Yeah.
Life is hard at 3, generally speaking. You feel you can rule the world and you haven't got the language skills to make everyone else understand that.
Mm.
So there's a lot of frustration at 3. And then your mother comes home with a baby. I mean... Oh my gosh, his life has been thrown upside down.
Mm.
This is the end of his world. So he's all these emotions going around and he just doesn't have the verbal ability to let out, maybe it's as well, to let out what's inside him. So I think he's telling you. And in fact, I think he's a very clever little three-year-old because the parents don't say he's playing up during the day. And very often they would.
Mm.
I mean, they would say, they would plan things to do things to the baby and they would poke the baby when nobody was looking. And they would be doing all these things to kind of get rid of this little monster who's come into their house. And he's not doing that. But can you imagine how hard it must be at 3 to be good with this baby all day when actually... In the back of your mind, you think he's taken your place. And I think that's what's happening. He's been really
especially
good all day.
Especially if that four-month-old is in the room with the parents. So no wonder he's coming into
just
the room.
Just where you want to be.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, taking his spot completely. Mm. It's like, you can't help feeling for him. So what I'd say is, I think that's what it is. I don't think it is dogs barking. I think it is maybe the dogs barked one night when he woke up in the beginning, but I think it is his... What's coming out at night is what's going on in his head.
Yeah.
And he's coping in the daytime and it's coming out. So in terms of trying to make things better, I think it's more about the daytime than the nighttime, to be honest. So it's in terms of reassuring him that he is still your number one. So one of the first things you can do is really make him your helper and really stress to him how important he is. You know, the baby can't do this and you can get nappies, you can do all this stuff to help. But rather than just make him feel like he's a maid to the baby, when you're doing stuff, if you're changing the baby's nappy, you're doing stuff with the baby, often say to him, oh, I remember when you were this age, and oh my gosh, when you were this age, you used to this, or when you were small, I did this with you, and I did to really remind him, he's still a baby at 3, and he needs to know he's still number one boy, he needs to know he's still their baby, that this person hasn't taken his spot, if you like. So it's very much focusing on the daytime. The other thing is, sometimes relatives and friends, sure, what do we do with a new baby? We all fuss over the baby.
Yes, of course.
So remind everybody else, because even if the parents are doing it, and sometimes the parents think, okay, we mustn't do it, but everybody else does it. So remind them, this could be a great time for maybe granny or granddad or, you know, another relative to have real quality time with the three-year-old. So you could get a helper. So if granny took the three-year-old to do something fun, something he really loves to do, to give you time with the baby. But then the same way that, you know, your partner or granny take the baby and give you absolute quality time with him, because he's lost that. I mean, they do.
Yeah.
A baby
yeah.
needs so much attention. And we don't even think about what we're doing, but we shift when the new yeah. one comes on. I have two little books to recommend to these people. The first one is Babies Don't Eat Pizza. And the idea of this is you go through the baby coming in, but ha, this is the good bit. No, the baby isn't allowed to do it.
Right.
So
okay.
It's like, yeah, you may think you have everything, baby, but I'll sit here munching on my pizza. And the second one is Julius, the baby of the world. And as you can imagine, this is a little girl called Lily who is slightly resentful of this little king who's come in and taken over her world. Mm-hmm. So just keep that in mind. Just in case for the waking up at night, a really useful little trick, because I don't think he necessarily is having nightmares or whatever, but two things. First of all, there's a dream catcher. If you think he is stressing,
yeah,
and if you can talk to him about the fact that, you know, any thoughts get caught in the dream. But another thing little ones love is to get, if you get like a water spray bottle and put a nice smell in it, you know, like perfume, whatever it might be in, and this is his spray to spray away any bad thoughts that come into his head, and they can spray it around their bedroom, and it just, it's like their little protection when they're going to bed at night. And I know it sounds a silly little thing,
yeah,
but
yeah.
it can just have this little transformative effect. I have this, I'm up, I'm protected, you know, but I don't think really that the sleeping is the problem. If you make him see how important he is, I have a feeling that maybe he won't be afraid of the dark so much anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, poor little fella. It's hard to cope with those kind of
it
things.
Is.
Right, okay, well, Mary, thank you very much for coming into us today. That's Dr. Mary O'Kane there, a lecturer in psychology and early childhood education. We're going to take a break after that. The man who spied on Martin Luther King.
Parenting on Moncrief. Thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, recruiting and supporting foster parents and children. Fiverivers Fostering.ie